As we start the sermon today, I start with the words. God created, they're right out of Genesis 1. God swept, God said, God separated, God called, God said, God made, God called again, God said again, God saw, God set, God created, God blessed, God finished, God blessed, and God rested. Our awesome God is from the beginning as an active God. For in the beginning, God created. As needed, God swept the winds over the darkness of the waters. And God's voice spoke, and there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. We read chapter 1 of Genesis. It's such a beautiful and meaningful reading. For the beginning of creation was a seven-day journey of our God. There was evening and there was morning, and after creation, the 7 days, God gave the final day as the Sabbath rest day. How wonderful it is to read upon the reflections of the Genesis of life, where God would speak and life would rise from fish in the seas and birds in the air to animals crawling upon the face of the earth, the living forefathers and foremothers of humanity. The metaphorical second reading of creation, this was the second one. Genesis 1 is the second, and Genesis 2, the Garden of Eden, is the first. But it's reversed in the Bible. The metaphorical reading has long rested upon my soul. I've opened, I think, every wedding that I have officiated proclaiming Genesis 1. Wow. It establishes the context of commitment to each other. Each couple is part of the renewal of God's creation. They are a beginning within the multitudes of previous beginnings where God saw everything and it was very good. On the celebration of Father's Day, we have the opportunity to go back to the purposeful beginning. As it is Trinity Sunday that I've mentioned, we raise up what the Gospel of John proclaims: in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He, meaning Christ, was in the beginning with God. They offer the needed foundation of the living of these days. As the question continually arises, if God was active in the beginning, where is God now? The observation, I don't see God acting in the world of violence and turmoil, surrounds us these days and is even within each of us in certain moments of our lives. And it is a question of purpose. It becomes a fair question. Where and how was it? Back to those words that God created, God swept, God said, God separated, God called, God said, God made, God called, God said, God saw, God set, God created, God blessed, God finished, God blessed, and God rested. How do these phrases orchestrate and provide meaning within our lives? Do we turn to the literal meaning of Genesis 1? Or can we move into a continual direction of renewal? The beginning of creation does not have to literally mean 7 days as the same days in the same way we measure a day today. Instead, it delivers us into what a priestly writer lifting up the oral traditions and representing Moses, who was inspired by God so much that he sought a meaningful way to give purpose, meaning, and power to the creation of the earth, all the living things, and to humanity. So here's my question. How do these phrases orchestrate and provide meaning within our lives? And I give an answer. They invite us, they invite you, they invite all of us together individually and collectively into the realm of God, who is active in the world today as well as was in the times of the saints of the biblical aspirations. They open the door to the reign of God's power of yesterday, today, and forever. And as the UCC phrase, God is still speaking. I recall now, quite a few years ago, the Sago mine disaster when it happened in West Virginia in 2006. It happened in Sago, Upshur County, near the county seat of Buchanan. The blast and collapse trapped 13 miners for nearly 2 days. One of the trapped miners survived. As director of the West Virginia Council of Churches, who helped coordinate disasters to recovery in the state, I immediately thought that a United Methodist pastor friend of mine from Buchanan must be there where all the clergy and the families were gathered together waiting in a Baptist church right there in Sago. So I got on my cell phone and I called him. And lo and behold, he answered the phone and he was right there. I wanted to offer any assistance I could to the clergy who were trying to help the families in their waiting, in their time of panic, in their time of fear and trembling and prayer and tears and memories and anger and shivering love. He said to me, you know, one of the biggest problems here is the clergy are so divided because there's a bunch of clergy in here that are trying to save those families and get them to be reborn. He said, then there's others of us clergy that are simply trying to bring God's love here into this time of crisis and tragedy. All of a sudden, to my mind came a song. And I said to him, I think we need to turn to Psalm 139. He said, my goodness, I'm just here flipping through my Bible as I talk to you. And I just turned to the Psalms and I flipped right over and there's 139. I says, go down to verse 7. He said, I'm already there. I mean, the Spirit had come upon us. And when we got to verse 7, the Word said, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Yes, the miners' families were surely worried that a dying mine explosion is like making a bed in Sheol or in hell. The scripture reminds us that God is there even when we're in Sheol. The next verses of the psalm are so comforting. If I take the wings of the morning and settle on at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The dark is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you, even for coal miners in a dark mine. The pastor had received the gift to aid the families and their husbands and their fathers. He was also prepared to gather the clergy together and give them a way to unite. Oh, by the way, it's not written in here. I shared this story with the bishop, the Methodist bishop. He was a Methodist pastor. Lo and behold, the Methodist bishop decided he needed to become a superintendent. So they've never forgiven me for helping him enter into this process of leadership. No, they have forgiven me. That was a joke. But it says to us, as those words have said, if we put them up on the screen yet, God created, God swept, God said, God separated, God called, God made, God called, God said, God saw, God set, God created. It goes on, and God rested. Part of the reason we have those kind of divisions that happened even in the midst of a crisis is because the creation of God into this earth and making it becomes to us a time of power. And in the world today, power seems to dominate the way we think about God. Often we forget that other word. Oh, it's up on your banners. Grace. We forget about that word in our lives. And God's word centers, all those words together center upon grace. How is God's power implemented into reality? It is not necessarily to stop the explosion caused by human error. Yes, there are Bible records that take such actions and record them of God. But it is to offer God's hand to those in need, to the grieving, that will always be part of the person, that person in the rest of their lives. What is the purpose of delivering God's grace? On my Facebook page this week, a friend posted a quote on power from an unexpected guitarist, Jimi Hendrix. Who would have thought that he would have offered such an informative statement? Do we have that up, ready to come up? There it is. Jimi Hendrix, of all things. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Yes, your world, and my world, is dominated by the love of power more than the power of love. Love of power versus power of love. Yesterday, one of the speakers at the Ohio UCC annual conference gathering declared that one of the divisions in the Christian faith is about those who declare that they are worthy to be saved or have eternal life while others are not. Such a statement centers first from the love of power instead of the power of love. The world in which we live has long been confused, not recognizing that we so often love power more than we live to let the power of love into our lives and into the solutions of the world. We need to realize that all of us have a degree of each factor within us. Within our weakness, we most often seek and act out the love of power instead of the power of love. The love of power is first and foremost about me and my interests. Yesterday, the Ohio Conference Minister Phil Hart stated, "We are so consumed by our own occupation and setting, calling you to hearken back to your first love. The power of love is about caring for others." On Father's Day, I asked, does a father care and act in behalf of his child out of the power of love or the love of power? Does he open himself to God's grace or keep the door closed? The answers to such questions are never easy. I recall the time, and it was close to Father's Day, our Boy Scout troop from Columbus, we had prepared for over a year for a big trip down to Lake Cumberland, there on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky. I had sold, I don't know how many, copper lamps, emergency lamps, knocking door to door in my neighborhood for months so I could go on the trip. But my father and our family, we were all going down to Kentucky together, and I was going to meet the scout troop, and they were going to take me on down to Cumberland. But we stopped at my cousin's house, and they had just gotten some new, really miniature motorbikes. And they had one for me. So we rode all afternoon on the motorbikes, and I got faster and faster and faster, till all of a sudden I thought I could turn, going very fast, and I crashed right into a curb that had a cut into it, and it cut my knee. And I was taken to the emergency room, and they filled it with stitches and wrapped my leg, and I had to walk like this. And when I got back, my father said, "Son, you're not going to Lake Cumberland." Wow. I was so upset. The next day, we went ahead to my grandparents, and we got there way back in the holler, and Grandpa said, "We got to go up and get a cow. She's just a troublemaker. She won't let her calf feed on her, and she's just causing trouble with the whole herd. We've got to get her and put her in a trailer and send her off." And Grandpa said, "You can come, even though you have to walk in a stiff leg." So we went out to the pasture and up the hill, and Grandpa got a calf of that cow and gave me the leash and said, "You walk the calf back down." And it was Grandpa and my father and some uncles, they were all trying to get this cow. She would raise up and her hoofs would go like that, and you thought she was a wild horse, and she would go down and try to butt everything. And finally she got down to the bottom of the field, and she just jumped over the fence, over the gate, and took off down the creek. For me, it was a special day. Fathers, grandfathers. On the one hand, you have to be firm. You can't go to Cumberland when you're walking and when you're injured. On the other hand, let's find a way. Let's find a way to make it meaningful to you. Do you grasp the purpose of the story for today's message? Yes, my dad had to use his power. Deny me the Boy Scouts. But there was peace. I wish, though, the problems and challenges before our children today were as simple as that story. Because they are not. As we look around our world. Speaker yesterday, the United Methodist pastor with the Children's Defense Fund, Janet Wolf from Tennessee, spoke, and she brought some statistics that we probably have all heard. Here's a tragic statistic. Daily, 7 children are killed by a gun in the United States. Every week, I bring up a different gun incident here recently. Since 1963, she said, there are 3 times as many children have been killed by gun violence than soldiers killed collectively Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Wow. We have to go back to God created, God swept, God said, God separated, God called, God said, God made, God called, God said, God saw, and God set, and God created, and God blessed, and God finished, and God blessed, and God rested. And I add, God graced. God gave the power to love, as expressed in today's gospel, that Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Within his authority, Jesus directs us, his followers, to go and make disciples. It's to carry the love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because God created, God blessed, God swept, God rested, all of them. And I say,